The views and opinions of today's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of the TJRS Radio Network. Thank you for being a loyal listener and enjoy the show.
Online radio at its best. You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
He would throw all of them under the bus. Both of his sons, it's already been stated and reported that he would throw Don Jr. under the bus first before he'd throw Ivanka on the bus, under the bus. And so, I, because he's always had that infatuation with that young lady, and it's really sad.
Those teams can't be held accountable to anybody else but themselves. So until they get sued that they break up the NFL in an antitrust kind of way, then nothing's going to happen. So they do everything at all costs to not have discovery.
He never spoke out against Trump. And Trump has been touting that same line that Pence could have done this, Pence could have done that. He is not lightened up on that. He's been saying that since the beginning, and he's still going after Pence, and he's still saying this stuff. Why is Pence doing this now? Trump ain't changed his tune, but Pence has.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise.
Good morning, and welcome to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, the show where we discuss politics, social issues affecting people of color, and every now and then a little comedy as well. Now here's your host, J. Ryle.
Good morning, and welcome to the November 17th edition of the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show. Of course, I'm J. Ryle. Thank you for being here. And, of course, this is the first show that we've had since the election. And to be perfectly honest with you, this show will be different than any other show we've had in the past. This is a delayed response from what should have happened last week. No music today, no news. We're not even going to be here for the full 2 hours because it really doesn't take 2 hours to analyze and determine what happened a week ago from this past Tuesday. So we're going to start the show off with a Sunday morning prayer like we always do. And then I'm going to do something that's unprecedented. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play Joy Reid's opening monologue the day after the election in its entirety. Because I was trying to find a way to sum up what happened on November 5th, and I couldn't find the right words. So I'm going to allow Joy Reid to do and explain exactly what happened almost 2 weeks ago. So if you would please bow your heads in prayer. Father God, we thank you for another day. We thank you, Father God, for allowing us to see another day. We pray for this nation. We ask, Father God, for understanding to determine why we are where we are now. I know, Father, I've talked to people and they say, you know what, this is America paying for its sins. But are we saying that the world is paying for their sins as well? Father God, we know there's a rhyme and a reason behind everything that you do, and we just ask, Father God, that you help us figure it out and that your will continue to be done. We ask, Father God, that as we move forward for the next 4 years with this horrible man leading our nation in this world, we ask, Father God, for patience. We ask, Father God, that you steer us. We ask you, Father God, for understanding. We ask you, Father God, for your mercy and grace. These things we ask in your son's name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Here's Joy Reid.
Online radio at its best.
And good evening, everyone. This is our first chance to be together one-on-one since the election. So I wanted to begin tonight with an acknowledgement of our new reality. Millions of Americans woke up Tuesday morning full of hope and joy, anticipating the election, finally, of America's first woman president. They put their faith in Vice President Kamala Harris to deliver not just the star-studded joy and the power of the culture from Beyonce to Taylor to basically every star in Hollywood, plus the many memes and incredible digital content, but also the change that could make this multicultural democracy real and accessible and affordable to everyone. I mean, money for elder care and small businesses and child tax credits, what? But that is obviously not what happened. Instead, knowing all that we know about Donald Trump, his vulgarity and venality, his 34 felony counts and adjudicated sexual abuse of E. Jean Carroll, and so many other women he preyed on, his buddy-buddy relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, his theft of classified documents, his fealty to Vladimir Putin, and that attempted coup, despite all of that, a majority of American voters actively chose him over her. Women all over this country know what it feels like to be the far more qualified woman who loses the job to mediocre or underqualified men. Black women doubly so. And people are rightfully depressed and scared. The Republican Party has made it clear they're not mad at the whole Nazi thing. They actually find some of the ideas, mass deportation, internment camps, white Christian nationalism, to be kind of okay. And autocracy definitely feels imminent. This era is especially frightening if you're a woman or black or gay or bi or trans or in an immigrant or in a mixed status family. And that danger is not in your head. And even in a normal time, when an election goes sideways, it is tempting to feel kind of dumb for having ever believed that the change you dreamed of was possible at all. I mean, who were we to believe that America would ever elect a woman, let alone a black and Asian woman as its president? I mean, sure, Mexico just did it, but not us. We're America. We don't do these things. But it is not crazy or dumb to believe in the possibilities of America. Millions of people all around the world do too. My parents did. That's why they, like so many immigrants, including Kamala Harris's parents, came here to this crazy platypus of a country cobbled together by people from everywhere and with its tortured history, but also so much potential. It is not crazy to believe. It's not crazy to dream. In fact, it's kind of sad not to. And Kamala Harris lived up to our dreams. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. She ran a remarkable 107-day emergency campaign full of joy and hope. She and Tim Walz raised $1 billion in a couple of months, and she whipped Trump in their one and only debate. And yesterday, at her alma mater, Howard University, Kamala Harris, first of her name, did something Donald Trump would never do. She conceded graciously and vowed to conduct a peaceful transfer of power.
Now I know folks are feeling and experiencing a range of emotions right now. I get it. But we must accept the results of this election. Earlier today, I spoke with President-elect Trump and congratulated him on his victory. I also told him that we will help him and his team with their transition, and that we will engage in a peaceful transfer of power.
Imagine that. She also spoke directly to young Americans who chose her at a rate of 54% to 43% over Donald Trump for 18 to 29-year-olds and 49% to 48% for voters 30 to 44, according to the NBC exit polls. And particularly millennial and Gen Z women, who went 61-37 in her favor for 18 to 29-year-olds and 54-43 from age 30 to 44. Millions of college students, recent graduates, and young Americans who put their faith in her.
Sometimes the fight takes a while. That doesn't mean we won't win. That doesn't mean we won't win. The important thing is don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Don't ever stop trying to make the world a better place. You have power. You have power.
And make no mistake, fam, it is young Americans, not those of us in Gen X or boomers or retired silent generation folks who are the economically insecure. Young Americans are the ones who can't afford to buy a home or start a business or a family. They are the ones who have economic anxiety, not the people of my generation, Gen X.
many of whom have savings in the bank and bitch about the economy while planning overseas vacations. Yet it was the hip-hop and Hulk Hogan generation, the F Your Feelings latchkey kids who came up on Dynasty, Dallas, and The Apprentice, who were the lone age group that voted in a majority for Trump. A majority of Gen X voted to turn America into an autocracy and to condemn our kids and grandkids to a far-right Supreme Court, probably for the rest of their lives. And it was not just Gen X, because while 91% of black women voted for Kamala Harris, 53% of white women overall voted for Trump, despite the open disrespect and demonization hurled by J.D. Vance and the Supreme Court stripping women's bodily autonomy courtesy of Donald Trump, who closed his repulsive campaign by dropping the B word on Nancy Pelosi. The breakdown by education was stark. Harris won 57% of white women with college degrees and lost 63% of white women without them. It was also men. Trump won every age group of men, including 60% of Gen X men and 6 in 10 white men. Also Latino men, who despite the utter disrespect shown by Trump and his promise to deport some of your mixed class, mixed status families, most of them voted in a 55% majority to make the deportations happen. Y'all voted with Stephen Miller and David Duke and against your own sisters and chose Kamala Harris with 60% of their votes. So you own everything that happens to your mixed status families and to your wives, sisters, and abuelas from here on in. However, we only have so much time for blame. We now need to make a plan. Because Donald Trump's spokesperson has already confirmed that upon taking office at noon on January 20, 2025, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, he will begin the mass deportation of up to 11 million immigrants who are living and working in America. He plans to put Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in charge of at least parts of our health care, which could deprive millions of Americans of life-saving vaccines. And he and his people will implement Project 2025, something he pretended he didn't know anything about when he was lying to you on the campaign trail, when he wasn't, you know, pretending to fillet a microphone or rambling for hours in front of sparse crowds. Cue the national abortion ban via the Comstock Act as well. And then there are the tariffs, which will make the price of everything soar while he and Elon Musk grift money out of our economy to share with their fellow billionaire friends, while mainly Gen Z and millennial Americans and retirees feel the pain. So here we are. And what I can tell you is what I plan to do. And what I plan to do is to refuse to take the knee or be silent. Because when an autocracy begins to form, it is really important that the press, to the extent it can, continue to speak, continue to inform people about what is happening, and to give you the means and the strategies to resist and survive. It is important that civil society and the arts continue to speak, that individual citizens remain vigilant and not back down or cower in fear. So that is what I and the team here at The Readout are going to do. We will make sure you stay informed, forewarned, and equipped to survive whatever he and his MAGA cronies try to do to the people in this country.
Online radio at its best.
Welcome back in. 347-850-1272 is our call-in number. It is the Serious Side on a very gloomy day in Texas, and like I said at the top, no music, no news, not even a full 2 hours, because in my opinion, it really doesn't take 2 hours to assess what happened. And let me say this before we get into it. Shame on BTR Radio for not being prepared for the onslaught of, you know, shows and things of that nature for their after election analysis. Very disappointed in the platform in which we operate, and we have some news coming up about that as well. Of course, I never share the stage by myself. My two brothers are in the house, Mr. L to the E to the S, who gets the last word, and the one and only smartest man in the world, Mr. Jerome Esprit. I'm going to start with you, Jerome. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good morning. Good morning, man. How are you?
Hey, I've been better.
Right. Yeah. Yep, we all have.
Mr. Elias is in the house as well. Mr. Elias, good morning. Are you there?
Good morning, good morning, good morning to you, and good morning, Nesta. Good morning, Momo. Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, man of music. Good morning, Real Delia. Good morning, Red Sister. Good morning, my brother Hawk, and good morning, my brother Jerome.
Yes, sir.
Number 347-850-1272. You know, once again, this is our reaction. I know it's a tad bit late, but I'm incensed, and it hasn't changed. I'm still upset behind what happened almost 2 weeks ago. And so I'm not going to lead in with any questions. I'm just going to go and ask my brothers to give me their thoughts on what happened, starting with you, Jerome. Your thoughts?
Go to LES. I still need time to process. It's been 2 weeks. I'm like, okay, I don't even know where to begin. If LES, if you're prepared, go ahead.
All right, Mr. LES.
I am thoroughly ashamed of the men that have daughters in their lives or sisters or aunts that you would think that this man is going to give a damn and be honest with you and upfront and honest with his Supreme Court selections. I'm shocked that you don't give a damn where they gave him. It didn't scare you that they gave this man immunity. Now he has immunity. As long as the Senate, which belongs to him, doesn't impeach him, he can pretty much do anything he wants to. If that doesn't scare you, then, hey, man, you get what you deserve. And for all my union brothers who the International Union sent out something to all the brothers and said, hey, look, don't vote for this dude. He's going to kill the unions. They voted anyway, and I've seen them on Facebook. I know who you are. I keep records of stuff like that. So when you start losing, when Grassley and the rest of them start grouping all our pictures together and you lose the amount of money that you got coming in, shut your dumb asses up because you voted for this. And I know how they reacted. So I didn't do it. Yes, you did, because I can see on your Facebook postings who you voted for, or you go to your house and see who you voted for. Look. This is a scary time for us, and people act like, they can't really do that. Dude, he has immunity. He has immunity, which means that the only thing that could save us is the House. And, hell, that ain't looking too good. So they got complete control. If they get complete control of the House and the Senate, they can do whatever they want to. And don't hand me this stuff for 4 years. Hell, he can change. If he's got enough people in the judicial system to change the Constitution, he can become King Trump. For all those people who think that he has to leave after 4 years, think again. Think again. And for all you young brothers who said Trump gave me the money that I talked to, you know who you are. You know who you are that said Trump, I had more money when Trump was in office. And then you tout me and say, look at the stock market. Know the fact. When the stock market went up, it wasn't because of Trump. The majority of the reason the stock market went up was because the interest rates went down on the houses. So know what you're talking before you start touting this garbage to me, man. Look, it is what it is. We got this clown. So get ready for a wild ride. Get ready for one because it's going to be a wild ride. I'm not even saying for 4 years.
All right, Jerome. The floor is yours.
Okay. Well, you know, first, you know, I want to say this. I don't know if I have anything to say to voters per se more than I have to say. You know, we have been through this. You know, this is for anybody who is interested in history. If you knew how racist, like, Woodrow Wilson in Congress and the Senate was, for anybody who's lived through the Reagan era, I know people speak fondly of the government cheese kind of stuff and all of this, but you have to remember between 1980 and 1988, Reagan was there. Clinton was there after, but in 92-ish, the Gingrich folks was there. And that's when they got rid of welfare and Head Start and all this. So from about, you know, we had an energy crisis before that. So in the late 70s, all the way to about 92, people weren't getting government assistance for jack. That's when we lost a lot of contractors. That's when the post, you know, start having, you know, war against the postal workers and the air traffic controllers, the unions was broken because Reagan, you know, did not want them to unionize. So for you young people, you know, 30 and under, who are literally kind of panicking, you know, in that sense, you need to reach back to your elders at this point, because everybody knew what was going on back then, and that's what's actually going on now. And so even our music reflected it. You know, you're talking 79 with The Message, Grandmaster Flash, Public Enemy. There's a reason why our music took that shape in the 80s and early 90s. It didn't change until like mid-90s to go someplace else. But we've survived this stuff, and this is not black people's fight. Because even when you look at the numbers, I don't want to hear, you know, and I haven't watched a lot of news because I don't, you know, I won't take, you know, the armchair quarterbacking of everything, because we have a tendency of not paying attention to what happened, like professionally, you know, people getting their emotions. But when, you know, we're on the show and Harris came in right off the rip, you know, I was getting messages saying, oh, how come you guys are not supporting her and whatever. And I can tell you one of the first things I said, which is probably why she lost, was the resentment of moving Biden out was going to be a problem. And so people will cut off their nose to spite their face, but I think it was that because, I mean, that, and I think that was the biggest part. Forget the people who don't like women and all of the other stuff. The numbers reflect that black men did what black men always do, right? Those numbers are roughly the same, even during Biden. The number for black women was in the 90 percentile part. Hispanic men was about, you know, in the 60s for Trump, but it was white women. So they voted at a higher rate for Trump this time than they voted for him when he won against Clinton. So the numbers are only 52.3% somewhere in there that they voted for Trump when Clinton ran, but it was 57 against Harris. So I said this and said it again, that it is not that everybody else couldn't see what it is. White females pendulum swing election races. Now, even though I thought because of the women's issues and the things that were on the ballot, that they would pendulum swing towards Harris, but there is something inside of that. And some of the commentary, you know, I was in a meeting and someone showed me some of the comments from somebody, this guy from Scranton. He called Hitler a fascist. He said he's just like Hitler. He said he knows what's going on the tube. And he said he voted for Trump. He's in Scranton. That was Joe Biden's area. So when you think that you want to run a race and you can't go back and do really good analysis on how politics works, then I want you to go back and look at why Obama won. Obama didn't win because he was just a great person. Once he put Biden on the ticket, it helped in rural and suburban areas. So Biden's there now, and all of you fools that was going, oh, he's too old, we need to have somebody else, and all of that nonsense, what happened is that you got somebody older or just as old as Biden who won. They should have let him stay on the ballot. That was a mistake by the Democrats. They don't do good analysis. Nancy Pelosi, you know, she's not even well-liked, but they took a victory lap around the fact that they got Biden out. And Jill Biden did not campaign for her, and Joe Biden didn't campaign for her. They were arrogant and stupid. So I normally don't say that, and I'm normally not that blunt, but it is time for people to wake up because times are going to get a little rough. And so since they're going to get rough, all of those people who are like, you know, the men need to step aside and blah, 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 now you're going to have to ask them to step up. because it's going to get weird in these streets. Because, again, if you don't remember the Reagan years, that it was not a safe time for black folks. And so we really did kind of, like, look to, you know, our communities to kind of offset all of the stuff that was going on in the world. So during Reagan is when the Iran-Contra stuff happened. It's when crack was introduced. It was all of that stuff happened in the 80s. You think that was a coincidence that they were moving crack into rural or into cities? It kept them off balance. That was when the Republicans had control. So look to your elders, because this is not, you know, it's going to require us to do something. But those ancillary conversations about it was black men and, oh, you know, we didn't step up and blah, blah, blah. If we are roughly 17% of the population generally, it wouldn't have helped. You could have had every black person vote for her, and it would not have helped. This is a pathology problem in a different degree. And again, and I know that, you know, we don't have a lot of people to do analysis that way, but I can tell you, we keep playing games on the surface, and it is more serious than that. Now, I think he has about a year and a half of free reign, though. And what you're going to watch happen in the next in 2 years is going to pendulum swing really hard back to Democrats, because all these white females are going to have buyer's remorse, and I think they already have it. Some of the white males, some of the stuff that they were writing, have buyer's remorse. But their default was to punish the Democrats for moving Biden out. So the Democrats who pendulum swung, it really happened because if you look at some of the races in the cities where Democrats were winning, the top of the ticket, they still voted for Trump, even though they were Democrats and they were voting for, you know, some of the congressional or other races in the area. So this is problematic, because sometimes society gets really comfortable and they start pushing the envelope without paying attention to the fact that this country has always gone through this, whether it was Andrew Johnson or Jackson or any of those guys, that we pendulum swing from, you know, white supremacy and that whole little nativism stuff. But this country has always done that. If you look at history, it always does it. So Woodrow Wilson, all those guys, racist and crazy, and white folks are like, I prefer the racist and crazy person than seeing all these black people on TV. I mean, it's really that simple. So you cannot run a race having Oprah introducing you like you got this thing done, having Glorilla at events and just, you know what I mean? Like, you can't do that. And I'm not, you know, again, bashing my people. I say that those are rookie mistakes. You should have gotten somebody who had stopped using young people as your litmus test to figure out how the world works, because they're going to get old enough to realize that what's hot in the streets is just not, it does not play in mainstream. So that is where the rural areas and stuff gave them permission. And by the way, it was a brilliant strategy on the Republican side, because I can tell you this, they didn't have to market and advertise inside of the cities or mainstream or television. What they did is that if you rattle the counties and get just 100 extra people in every county in the rural areas, that's going to be, you know, in some states, you're talking 8,000 more votes. They stayed out away from mainstream, and that's where that racist stuff came in, where those all men, you know, meetings that they had and the big Klan meeting at Madison Square Garden. It pulls people into voting who don't know, normally vote. And so they did a good job while the Democrats are celebrating, relying on the polling of white females. So as these two factions are going to start to fight, so I tell all black folks, take a seat and watch this like a movie, because the people who has buyer's remorse and the folks who are trying to take away women's rights, they're about to fight. And I want all black people to stay out of this. Because it's their souls that they're playing with. If we did not lose any races, and we did not contribute to this at all, This is an image of a country in most, again, European countries that they have that problem. Ukraine and Russia is a fight over resources, right? And so don't think that chaos is not the goal. Chaos was the goal in this particular race. So we cannot do political analysis like it was policies or you know, if that person would have just done this. And it wasn't even reasonable. Trump did not run a campaign. He did not put on any, like, he doesn't even have a freaking platform. He had none of that because he didn't need it. Obviously, he didn't need it because pain was the point. You know, what are we going to do about the Mexicans? What are we going to do about this? What are we, right? And so I'm sure our allies are panicking. They're panicking. But I actually have a little hope because the Biden administration is smart. And so even though on the surface, if you keep watching TV, that rhetoric is going to get crazy. It's going to give you a headache, and it's going to make you panicky if you're watching too much of this stuff. But what the Biden administration can do is it can extend funding for about a year into that, and if they get that money out of the door before the Trump people hit the hit office, then things will still be funded for an extra year, and then they will start to go into campaign season because they know they're going to lose Congress. So it'll adjust behavior a little bit, but the laws behind the scenes and all those things that are going to change they're going to hurt. But you know where to look. You know, I had a conversation with an older white female yesterday when I was at an event, and I just kind of looked at her like she was crazy. She kept, you know, very liberal, and she was, you know, in the suburban rural areas, and she was saying how much this kind of hurt, and I looked at her. This is not my problem. This is not black folks that should not go back to save the souls of America, because this is something that we have experience with, and we have seen this movie. The kids haven't, but we have seen this movie. So we need to figure out what it is that we need to have as outcomes, opposed to worrying about this, because it's going to get bad. Rhetoric on television, putting Matt Gaetz as Attorney General, like all of these things is going to hurt, but it wasn't in our hands. So, you know, we have to do what we need to do.
All right. Let me start off by saying that I haven't watched the news for the past, since the election. The day after the election, I turned it off midway through. And the reason why I did was very simple, because that's one of the reasons why I don't think we're going to be here for the full 2 hours. Because a lot of what my brother Jerome just said, I do agree with, but there's some things he said that I don't agree with. The one thing I don't agree with is this. I said this a long time ago on this show. I said that the election of President Obama is going to do one of two things. It's going to show how far this country has come, or it's going to really and truly unveil the hidden racism that has been dormant in this country for years. And Tuesday before last, I got my answer. A white man who is a convicted felon, who's been found liable for rape, his organizations have been found to have created and been involved with fraudulent activities. This is a man who has also given secrets to our enemies. A man who has talked about grabbing women by their pussies. Let's just call it what it is. And this man gets elected president of the United States? And you're trying to tell me, you're going to give me a political analysis of what Harris didn't do right, and, you know, and she didn't reach the certain this, that, and the other. The reason why she lost this race is simple. And no one on this show, no one who's talking to me in the public is going to convince me otherwise. She's black. She's married to a Jew. And she's a woman. Because I guarantee you, And no one's going to convince me of this. If Gavin Newsom was running, I believe he would have won. I believe if Josh Shapiro was running, we would have won. So you can stop all the political analysis, because this guy, this is the dude you wouldn't even hire to run an organization, but you just made him the most powerful man on the face of this planet. And we wonder why we have conspiracy theories. We have people that come in here and spout all the nonsense about, oh, you know, the world's going to come to an end. It's this underground people that's going to sell stocks and buy gold. You wonder why these people exist, because you can't explain this. You can't explain this. This is the first time in this country's history that we have elected a convicted felon. Are you going to try to give me a political analysis behind that? Well, I'm not listening. I don't give a damn what type of stats, so I'm not going to listen. I'm not. And let me tell you something else, too. Since I haven't been watching the news, I can see how people can become complacent. I can see how people are not in tune to what's going on. There are so many things out there that can preoccupy your time where you don't know what the hell's going on. I can't tell you what's going on. This whole thing with Matt Gaetz, the only reason I know about it is because somebody sent me a text because they know what I do. Had I not got that text, I wouldn't have known. I'm more in tune with what's going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback situation than I am what's going on with Trump's cabinet. And I did that on purpose. Because the first day when I listened to people on Morning Joe, and I love Morning Joe, talk about, well, you know, maybe she should have did this. Now, these are the same pundits who were, you know, a week before the election were saying, oh, my God, she has run the greatest political operation in the history of America. She had X amount of days to make this happen. She raised over $1 billion. Good gracious of life. They're going to write down. Historians going to go back and look at this as being one of the greatest campaigns ever in American history. Then as soon as she loses, then all of a sudden people are talking crazy. Nancy Pelosi needs to go home. Tired of Nancy Pelosi. So Nancy Pelosi now is saying, well, you know, the president should have got out of the race earlier, and then we could have had an open primary. I knew from the very beginning she really didn't want to just have Kamala Harris become the representative. She kind of said that right after she forced Biden off the ticket. But then as she saw things, and this is what I do agree with Jerome, you know, young people, yeah, they got excited. We had concerts. We had all these greatest things, all these events. She has, you know, hundreds of thousands of people coming out to watch her. And I do agree with that was false. That was just false money. That was just paper. Didn't mean anything. Because if you look at the assignment, if you look at the optics of these two campaigns, nobody in their right mind thought Trump would have won. Trump thought he was going to lose. On election night, he was texting on that raggedy-ass social media that he has. They're cheating in Pennsylvania. He won Pennsylvania. You haven't heard anything since then, have you? We're in trouble. And for people like me that's close to retirement age, I'm fearful. Because at this point, there are things that we work for our whole lives that we depend on when we start getting to these phases of our life. And now you've got this lunatic involved. And let me tell you something else I did. And let me say this to everybody that's within the sound of my voice. If you are somebody that I know and you supported Trump, you will be getting a phone call from me soon. Because the people that I know right off the bat, I called all those bastards and told them to lose my number. This is some serious mess here. This ain't a difference of opinion. my daughters will not have right to talk about their bodies over their bodies because you stupid people put this asshole back in office. So now he's going to be able to elect two more Supreme Court justices. We'll have lifetime appointments. And like Mr. Elias said, they have granted this man immunity. And even though officially we don't know what's going on with the House of Representatives, trust me, they're going to win that too. He's going to have full control for the next 2 years. And the crazy people that he's putting in his cabinet, watch out. If a Hispanic man, let me tell you something. I hope that they send all your relatives back. I don't give a damn. I'm not being politically correct because y'all sit and went into the damn booth and voted for this fool. So guess what? You voted against your own interests. So guess what? Now when they start, because they've already said day one, they're going to begin a mass deportation of all illegal immigrants. They're going to send them home, and you get what you sow. I could care less. I don't want to see no babies crying on TV. Oh, they're sending my women back. So what? You should have thought about that when you went to the damn voting booth. Every person is for themselves at this point. What happened to you, if you voted for this man, I hope you get all the smoke that comes with it. You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. I don't care. And if you don't like it, I don't care about that either. Because the one thing that really bothers me at this stage, first of all, I live in a state where, once again, if one of my daughters get pregnant and they have a complication, they could die. They could die. There's no rules on the book or no law on the book that tells a man what to do with his damn body. But now we're telling women they can't make decisions about their own body? We're talking even in a case of rape and incest? So it's okay for some weird, crazy father to impregnate his daughter? Or some rapist to rape somebody and she has to carry that rapist seed to term? Because of you crazy, backwards-ass Republican people who think this is okay? No, it's not okay. Because these very same people who talk about, oh, my God, we preserve the life, we want life, but they're the same people who are cutting programs, so when these mothers need help, they are the same people who are cutting these programs. These are the same people out here who are hunting our black men, unarmed black men. So you want them to come into this world so you can kill them later? I'm beyond done with all this. I don't care. People can say what they want to say about me. Well, if you say something today, you have to wait till next week, because I'm not doing no comments, no news, no music. I'm not doing any of that stuff today because I'm pissed off. And here's the problem. I can't go to another country. I got to sit here and deal with this. Look, I won the same stupid-ass prizes that I ain't even freaking play the game for. I got to deal with this because I'm in a nation full of uneducated people who don't understand what the hell's going on. Now, put that in your peace pipe and smoke it. I ain't trying to be politically correct. I can give a damn. How about that? Get to the phone lines. What's up, Steve? What's on your mind?
Woo, Jay, I know you hot today. Man, you hot. I understand, brother. But Kamala's she's still getting in there. The Democrats, and I don't know if Jerome touched on this or not, they want Joe to step down and let Kamala in there. And so we still have plenty of prophecies that Kamala is going to be president. Whether it's Joe stepping down or Joe passing away, and if that election does not get certified by Christmas, guess what? Donald Trump is not going to be the president of the United States, and I do not see a certification coming by Christmas, I don't think Congress could certify anything in this country. I'm making more money than ever before. Let me tell you something, Jay. God is still on the throne. Ain't nothing, nobody can touch a hair on your head or anybody in this country unless the Most High authorizes it. Elections didn't matter in the 90s, and elections don't matter today because the Most High is still on the throne, and Trump cannot do anything that the Most High does not authorize. So if anything crazy happens, the Most High authorized it. So I got my passport. Get your passport. Because I'm telling you, millions of people could be hitting that passport office at the same time. And the passport price, they've already raised it. It could go to $500 to $1,000. Get your passports while they're still cheap. But, brother, nothing can happen to you unless the Most High is no longer on your side. All right, you guys have a good day. But I still believe Kamala is going to get in there. All right?
All right, brother. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right. So where do we go now? What happens next? Mr. Elias, I don't know if you're still here. I know you're dealing with some stuff at the house.
Where do we go next?
Yeah.
What happens next? You deal with what you got to deal with. If they don't get the Congress, man, this country is done. This country is a done data. If they don't win Congress, at least to stand in some type of his way, you can forget it. It's done. If he has complete control, we have an autocracy, and we can sit here and say we don't and all this other crap. But yeah, we got an autocracy, and it's going to be real bad.
So you don't think,
those who think it's not.
You don't think we have any. You don't think any of the safeguards are going to hold through with this guy?
Oh, hell no! What safeguards are you? Okay, he has immunity. He has immunity, and he has a Supreme Court to change the Constitution. Really? He has a Supreme Court to change the Constitution. They can change it to whatever the hell they want to change it to. Do you really think they can? They're not going to? Do you really think that? I'm on many, many, many platforms saying, dude, what do you think he's going to do? He has immunity. That means that anyway, so he can assassinate somebody, and the only way that they can, that the Congress can, and that if we have Congress, they can impeach him, but when they send it over to the Senate, what do you think they're going to do? What do you think they're going to do? Them gutless bastards had a chance. It took 17 people from the Republican side to impeach him when he tried to kill them. When he tried to kill them, it was only 10 of them that stood up, and bitch McConnell's bitch ass didn't do anything. He stood around going, the justice system get him. Yeah, well, the justice system didn't do nothing. And Merrick Garland is responsible as hell for the rest of this crap too. So, dude, he has immunity. He has immunity, and nothing's going to happen to him.
Let me ask you this, because this is the narrative that Nancy Pelosi's throwing around here. Do you think, had Biden stayed on the ticket, do you think Biden would have won the election? That's question number one. And question number two is, do you think that Biden should have got off the ticket early? Because that's kind of the narrative that's being pushed by Nancy Pelosi.
Damn what Nancy Pelosi is saying, man. Look, I'm my honest opinion, I don't think Biden would have won. That's just my opinion. Because he has too many minions. He has too many minions. And damn what Nancy Pelosi is saying, because her whole ass should be out of office too. Yeah, she too old to still be there too. The whole ass needs to leave too. But we, like I said, we're definitely in trouble. It's a complete chaos right now. God is the only thing that can save us, man. God is the only thing that can save us. Because, dude, you might as well, this is my United States of America. It's a done data, man. We can sit here and say, oh, it's not that bad. Oh, Trump ain't going to do this. Hell, he has complete immunity. He has
He has complete immunity. He has the right to do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. And for all those people who voted for that, I'm glad you voted for it. I'm glad. And all the women who voted for that, you get what you deserve. You get what you deserve. That's all I can say.
Jerome, why do you have hope? Because you said that earlier.
Why do I have hope?
Yeah, you said you have hope. Why do you have hope?
No, it's not hope. What it is that, you know, it is kind of reality, right? And
okay.
I think what happens when you do races and you, and again, I don't know, I keep saying this, but I've been doing them for a really long time, right? And what folks can't see is something that people pay me to see. Do you know what I mean? Like, so when
okay.
you call a strategist, you're saying to that person, I don't know, you know, not all the time, though. It just depends. And I am not a consultant or a pundit or none of that stuff.
Mm.
What happens
right.
is that you need to be able to read climate. So when you
mm-hmm.
listen to people like Nancy Pelosi, you never, like just kind of on a professional side, never listen to a politician about what's going to happen. They don't actually know. They're too far from the ground. So they
really?
Don't have any kind of concept of what's on the ground. So when somebody says something, you know, cause, and again, you go back in the archives, said this before, Biden was going to win pretty easily. But what happens is that when someone looks at that and say, well, if Biden can win, this guy is character flawed, we could just stick her in there. And that's never going to work. That is never going to work. She could not have run a better campaign. She could not have done worse, right? Like, there was no path to getting over pathology, right? And so every time you think this place is something that it isn't, then that's when we have problems and people get their feelings hurt. So one of the things that, you know, I say, and I really am hesitant on saying this in public, but one of the things that I always say is that women literally need an attitude adjustment when it comes, and I say this to groups of women, so this is not something new, this is not female bashing. What it is that you're not dealing with the reality of dealing with men and the reality of dealing with white females. You're not dealing with that. Like, you can't just say, oh, there's a right and wrong. Every black person knows this about going to court, right? Doesn't matter what the truth is, because someone says, oh, well, it looks like, or it could have been, and they will go left on you, right? Remember the guy who was convicted of murder, and he was this happened in New York City, and the guy was in Florida. He had a hotel ticket in his pocket because they arrested him when he came back from the airport. They knew how long he was actually in Florida, and he was convicted of murder, and he wasn't even there. And not until years later did they find out that the DA wouldn't let them put his hotel ticket into evidence to show that he wasn't even there. So we have experience at the unbelievable and people just discounting what truth looks like. We have a country that if you say Black Lives Matter – they changed the narrative. This woman literally said to me yesterday, I don't understand what woke means, but I know it's a negative. And I'm like, first of all, I'm black, so asking me a question like that is crazy. But I understand it. I understand that people flip stuff on their heads and people think, you know, especially white females, that they're not going to get hurt, right? So whether it's Klan or neo-Nazi or any of that stuff, that's their queen. So everybody else, they're like, oh, yeah, you can have this, but they are not going to get hurt. And so it's not something that you can change overnight. It's not anything that is, again, something that we control with even good information. We need to deal with how a default works in this country. It worked like that, and again, it's we see this in the news. We see brainwashing, like you said. I don't watch Morning Joe. because they're idiots to me, because they're selling something, but it's like rating selling. It's media selling. So whatever they're spinning, that never pans out. So if she would have won, they'd have been like, this is why she won. It was women. It was this, and we need to empower. You know what I mean? They don't know that that's tweaking the sweet tooth of racists. This country has a problem, and it won't deal with it.
Let me ask you something. So if that was your gut feeling, you know, you know, I asked everybody if you think she's going to win. You said you thought she was going to win. So what did you see at that time that you thought that, you know, but it sounds like you're saying today, yeah, but at the end of the day, you know, she didn't really run this thing the right way. What did you see there okay.
No, I can tell you exactly what it was, right?
Okay.
And so so she was primed to win in a landslide or lose in one.
Okay.
So here's how that general analysis goes. All of the mistakes from, you know, pushing Biden out and being very public about it, you know, they were literally kind of gloating about Nancy Pelosi. And
but she didn't
even
do that,
with,
though, right?
She didn't did. She did. I watched her on TV. She was like,
wow.
She was giddy. She was like, yes, and she's in there and blah, 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 and we know he need to move aside, blah, blah, blah. Like, they were giddy, which
that
made Joe Biden, I don't care. I'm just telling you what I saw on TV, right?
Sounds
she was
good.
A little giddy about it. So
yeah.
She didn't say the words that we're happy that he's gone. Of course they're going to cover it and say, you know, we thank him for his service. When you move anybody out, that's what happens. We thank you for your service, but you got to go, right? You know, it's like forcing people retirement. And what they did is they forced his retirement, not on his own terms, not in a way that even made him a part of that campaign. Because what they were thinking on a Democratic side is that we need to distance ourselves from Joe Biden, right, to make it, you know, to make this her thing. And when you run feminism in this country, it never turns out well. Because nobody gave a rat's about school shootings. Nobody gives a rat, right? And it's not our community that does that. Because there's this sense of being restrained. So when people don't see folks that look like them, especially white folks, black people deal with this because it's what we deal with, but they pendulum swung. And I've been saying that since Obama, or probably prior to Obama, because I always knew this, is that when you run a race, again, I know what happened. Okay, so since I wasn't doing a race this year, I didn't feel compelled to give professional advice to anybody. I don't really do that on the radio. I would run a race totally different. And I have done female races before. I probably have the best record in the country of doing female races and never lost one. But that's not how you run a race when you have a female at the top of your ticket. And so whether it's a mayor or a county exec or Congress, I have done all of those races, and I've done races with black women. In really tough areas, and they won. But what you don't do is everything that they did do, which I'm not. You know, again, I'm not Monday morning quarterbacking them. I am just saying, like, fundamentally, the climate was not good for that. When you run races according to the climate. So I've given these numbers before. But when Biden won South Carolina in the primary, everyone said, oh, it was black people who gave Biden a win. But in looking at the numbers in the rural suburban part of Charlotte, I think it was Charlotte. I'm trying to think of what city it was. But in the rural in suburban part, area that – Hillary Clinton won in the primary by about 5,000 votes. President Obama won it by 10,000 votes. And Biden won it by 15,000 votes.
Okay.
And Biden was the underdog. He didn't have any money. Everybody was saying, oh, he can't win. He can't. He won by 15,000 votes. That should tell you something. So his connection to rural and suburban people was strong. So you don't run a rookie and not have the person who was bringing those areas in. You don't just turn them over. The cities can't help you with that. Not if the population is motivated to go out and vote. And so Obama won because Biden was on the ticket. Biden won because Biden was on the ticket. But she didn't win because Biden was not on the ticket. So just general analysis is all I'm saying is that we need to look at how, you know, how you run races opposed to worrying about what makes you feel good, because that's never going to be the truth for you, right? It's like the fact that Colin Kaepernick, even though the NFL started doing all of these things to you know, wearing T-shirts, to painting stuff on the field, but Colin Kaepernick never played in the NFL after that. They punished him. Owner wanted to take the hit because white folks who were watching the game wanted to boycott or protest that I don't understand what's going on. They were playing to a certain crowd. And this country never deals with this. And I, again, said this many times, and I think it's worth repeating, is that how we are programming people, we need to watch how that is a white male patriarchal system, patriarchy, right? And so, like, I have a quick question for you. You've seen the, you and Elias, you've seen the movie Independence Day, right?
Once, with Will
Smith and Jeff Goldblum. You both have seen it? Who was the hero in that movie?
I'm going to say Will Smith. I only saw it once. So.
Okay. Elias, did you see it?
Will Smith. Will Smith, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Will Smith.
So, right, so that's what we saw. You know what white folks saw? The guy who saved that movie was Randy Quaid's character. So whenever it's like, we can't upload this virus, and the president was like, I'm out of ammunition. Some guy from the rural redneck alcoholic kind of thing said, oh, he sacrificed his life, blew up the ship, and then everybody else was able to win. We don't see programming, so you can be like the on the outside of everything, but every archetype of every most movies always have that, right? Whether it's Die Hard and you have a policeman who is on the outs, he comes back and save the world, right? Armageddon, you have some guys who are oil workers. Now, the scientists can't figure this out. Let somebody randomly. We don't even watch how we program people on the ground, and you wonder why folks think like they do. It has always been that way. Right, no. So we see on the surface, and we're like, it was Jeff Goldblum's movie, so technically Will Smith was Eddie Murphy in Trading Places, right? It wasn't his movie. He was just the add-on, right? And again, we got this from after black exploitation movies, that era. It was Richard Pryor in the Gene Wilder movie that made them get rid of black exploitation movies because they found that you can have a white character, the main character, and have a very popular black person as a sidekick, and they will still get the same amount of black people at the movies, right? So once we start kind of peeling back on how this country looks at itself and looks at others, which they're not going to change it voluntarily, it was just, it's just for us to kind of understand what it is. So when I speak to especially people of color, it is so that you understand that whatever you're seeing, whatever your education system is teaching you, you need to realize that it's setting up a system, something in your head that makes you believe that this person has more value than that person. It's always playing to that. And again, we can go back in history to, you know, Reconstruction to tell you that after, you know, Taft got in office. Or I'm sorry, after Ulysses S. Grant got in office too, right? He came right after the Civil War. The country was doing great. You had black people progressing in the South. So for his reelection, he had to move the federal troops out of the South. They had already let the Confederate soldiers go home with their guns, and then they pulled the troops out. They had ammunition and freedom, didn't even get arrested, and Klan pops up, start tormenting black people. But that was a compromise that they made with Congress because they had a divided Congress, and the Southern people were making a request. They didn't give a rat's about what's going to happen to anybody else. This country does this. So, again, I thought that she would win by a narrow margin because I didn't think women would pendulum swing so hard. But they did worse for, you know, her than they did for Hillary. Like I said, Trump only got 52% of white females' votes, but they got 57 now, 5 percentage points more. So buyer's remorse is about to kick in, and like I said to women, let them fight it out. This is why they fight in Oregon and the state of Washington, is because those were created as white-only states, and they're fighting the fascists. This happens. So I'm not saying I'm hopeful one way or another, just in general analysis, this is history. It's not that it does not happen, but we've survived all of this stuff. It's going to be rough. Like I said, we think of the 80s as, you know, that it was cool because people was getting free treat, you know, government cheese and all of those subsidies, but unemployment was above 10%. There were people out of work. People were starving. They cut school lunch programs and all of that stuff back then. So we made the best of whatever happened, but we did not we didn't look at it as, hey, you know, all is lost. So the communities have to keep going, is all I'm saying. Like, the community has to figure itself out. But I would say to go to those people, you know, I mean, I was young, so I would have to go back to our elders and see what they did, because we remember it as children that it was a fun time for us. But that's just because the adults made it comfortable enough that we didn't feel the pressures that they must have had working and being in such a, you know, racist and conservative climate. So the climate, this is going to be bad. No doubt, I agree with you, Jay. It is going to be bad, but at the same time, there's some things we could do to mitigate how bad it's going to be. And I would say, don't play into it. And even after the win, I forgot to say this. Even after the win, white folks wasn't up cheering that Trump won. Buyer's remorse set in as soon as it happened, and they know who they voted for. They did not, you know, run the streets blowing the horns, waving flags, because they knew what happened. They just did not want to vote for the Democrat. But again, that was the Democrats' fault. Shunning Biden did that. And I didn't like it when they first did it. And I'm not even a Democrat. But I remember when they said Biden's out, he dropped out, and how giddy they were. And now we got this. And anytime this happens, I was the first one to say, you know what? This is bad. So, yeah we have the consequences.
It is 347-850-1272. If you're just tuning in, different format this morning. This is the show that we had all intentions on having last week, but the platform where we broadcast from basically was down. And speaking of which, an announcement. Ms. Elias brought this to our group's attention, and I actually got the official word the other day. Blog Talk Radio is going out of business. They will be shutting down operations at the end of January of 2025. So if you are a listener of this format, this is probably not new news to you. So you know, we'll get together with our team and talk about next steps and things of that nature, where we're going to go. I'm looking at a few platforms right now. I guess the one thing for me, Ms. Elias, is that when you think about the reach of a Blog Talk, I know that other sites tap into this, and that's the reason why we can reach the people that we can reach. So there's going to be an adjustment for us, because there's some things I have in place that will give me numbers and give me access to our listeners and stuff like that. But, you know, we're working on that. And so we have a couple of months to try to figure it all out, and we'll let you know what's happening. But until then, you know, we'll still do what we do every Sunday morning, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, You know, we'll continue to try to bring it to you as raw and as truthful as possible. So we're having me. I'm having a meltdown. I have my meltdown. If you're just tuning in, you know, I'm having a meltdown today. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not going to sit here and try to sugarcoat anything. I'm not going to try to watch my language. I'm not going to try to sit here and be politically correct. You know, for me, I haven't been watching news for the almost for the past 2 weeks because I got tired of hearing pundits trying to explain what happened. And if you didn't hear it at the top of the show, and I think what I'll do is I'll play it again. I'm going to play Joy Reid's opening monologue after the election. I'm going to play it again if you're just tuning in because I think it's important. Because in my opinion, even in, you know, let me give Eddie Glaude some credit too. Because I saw him on the 11th hour, and he was pretty passionate about what he said. If I can find that clip, I can get that out there to you. But let me play what Joy Reid said after the election, the day after, and then we'll be back to continue our conversation and continue to, you know. Well, at least me. Mr. Elias is not as hot as I thought he would be. He's hot, but he's not as hot as I thought he would be. Because I think a week after week, you know, you kind of come to the reality, it's kind of settled in. But trust me, if you'd have been on the show.
Yeah, you have, I got plans, man. I got definite plans, man. I'm looking at different options right now, to be honest, if you really want to know the truth. So I'm just looking at different options that I got right now, man. Because hell, I'm actually fearful that they're gonna tap my pension, man. You know, they Grassley already said he's gonna do it. So you know, man, I'm looking at different things, man. So it is what it is at this point in time with me. And I stopped watching news, man. I had to, this election made me disconnect, because hell, if I didn't disconnect, I would explode. Because I'm sitting here, like when the people were saying she should have went on Joe Rogan's show.
Joe Rogan told her
she couldn't come on her show. She tried to go on his show. He told her
that's
no.
That's all I heard.
Because he's a Trump, huh?
What I heard was they wanted him to come to go to her. And she was like,
no.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard that basically Joe Rogan wanted her to come to the studio. Like, you know, I'm Joe Rogan. You know, you're not, who gives a damn? You can go to the Breakfast Club, but you can't come see me. No, you need to come see me. And they was like, no, we need you to come to us. And they was like, hell no. And then, you know,
no,
then he kind of gave
it
the door.
I got it different. I got it different. I got it the fact that he said, I'm endorsing Trump. I'm not going to interview you.
I don't know.
That's exactly what I heard.
I'm not going to. I mean, the only people know the real deal. The folks involved. All we're doing is repeating things that we read. And so,
why would,
you know,
right? What makes no sense, because she was going to Fox News. She went in and everywhere. Think about that. And she wouldn't go to his platform.
I'm just telling you that. I'm just telling you what I read. Well, I mean, I hear you, Mr. Elias. I'm not here to argue with you. I'm not here to say whether you're right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm just telling you what I read. And then after they decided, you know, because it was late in the campaign, I think that's what it was, and she wanted to make sure she hit all of these, you know, the blue wall and all these battleground states. And so they were like, hey, can you come to us? And then he was like, no. And then after, what I heard was after they didn't come to an agreement, he decided he was going to endorse Trump. But, you know, what your story may be true, too. I don't know. I'm just reporting what I read. Can't verify because we don't have the money to verify the resources. So just whatever we read, that's what I have. So, hey, but listen, Joe Rogan, you know, once again, here's another guy. And, you know, and we all heard this where the one young man was on television and said, well, I voted for Trump because she wouldn't go on Joe Rogan's show. Are you effing serious?
Those are excuses.
So you're going to use – I know, Jerome, But you're going to use – but see, this is Gen Z, and this is one of the things that you'll hear in Joy Reid's dialogue, how these Gen Z people, they're just not connected because they're, you know, they're years away from dealing with Medicare and all this other stuff, if it's still around, based on some of the articles I read about how Donald Trump's plan is going to probably kill Social Security, you know? So, but a part of me hopes it's like when you get these warnings about these storms, right? It's, oh, my God, it's the worst storm. If you stay here, you're going to die. And then the storm tips a little to the right or left, and all of a sudden we missed a catastrophe. That's what I'm praying for. I'm praying that we are sounding the alarm, and at the end of the day, kind of what you said earlier, Jerome, that, hey, you know, hey, we've been through this before. And you know, the sun's going to rise the following day. And you know, at some point, this too will pass. So, Mr. Elliott's like, you're right. That's that laugh like, yeah, okay, this dude is mean in business. I think the reason why all of us are nervous, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, Mr. Elias and Jerome, but especially for you, Mr. Elias, I think we're a little more concerned because it's like, you know, when you watch football since it's Sunday, I'll make this analogy. You know, sometimes where the coach blows the whistle right before the kicker kicks the ball, and it's like, well, you gave him a free practice swing. So now he knows what to do when he kicks it the second time, right? And I think it's like this guy knows what he needs to do now. He brought in people from Washington to be a part of his cabinet when he realized that they weren't going to kiss his ass and they were going to do everything within to prevent him from destroying the country. Okay, I tell you what, this time around, we're not bringing those fools in. I'm bringing in straight-up ass kisses. So I can do what I need to do. And I think the most disappointing part of this, fellas, and you tell me if you agree with me or not, is that you would like to think, even though the Supreme Court is flawed, because anything dealing with man, listen, you go to church every Sunday, and you know, you sit here and talk about preachers. Preachers are men. You know, oh, my God, hey, Bishop is a man. With a ding-dong and desires and all the evils that the human flesh has. Now, he's probably better at coping with it than most people, but he's still a man. So I would like to think, making a parallel back to the Supreme Court, that even though they are flawed, you know, temptation's going to hit them too, you'd like to think that they would be the grown-ups in the room. So when they came back and gave him immunity, to me, that was a swift kick in the nuts. And I was shocked by that.
I told you they were going to do it, too. I wasn't. I told you they were going to do it.
I don't remember you saying that.
I did. I know I told you. I said,
oh, you mean,
when they gonna
get immunity, okay. You're saying when it was up, you were like, hey, they're going to give it to him. Okay, no, you did say that.
Yeah, and I knew they were going to do it because this is his Supreme Court. This is the people he put in place. They're going to be loyal to him.
Well, Michelle, that's a wait a minute now. But see, you say that, but there are a lot of federal judges who have shot down things that he's trying to do. Think about what's going on that happened in Florida. But I hear what you're saying. But the premise of the matter is that you're saying because these are his judges, they were going to do these things. But when you think about it, well, think about this, though. The judges in Florida in the appeals court in that documents case, they came back and overruled the one flunky, that female, Judge Cannon. They came back and overruled her rulings. And those were two out of the three were Trump-appointed judges.
Okay.
Some of the things he tried to do.
You're talking about that. Well, let's talk about the six he got on right now. You got what's his name? Yeah, he got Clarence Thomas, Alito,
Roberts.
He's got
Andy
Coney Barrett, and he got in all those cases, how many times have they ruled against Trump? Please tell me.
I mean, I don't know.
Please tell me. They don't. They don't. In a simple case of immunity. Oh, here's another question. Do you still think he's going to jail?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Just thought I'd ask. You know, maybe he changed your mind.
I even said that right before this happened. I said, you know what? A part of me thinking that it ain't going to happen, even though I don't want that. I just don't. And now that he's in charge. But excellent question, though. Robert, excellent question. So, first of all, what do you think George Marchand is going to do? Think he's just going to drop the case?
God, yes. 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 That's an undoubted. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what about Georgia now? Because that's a state
Georgia's
case.
That's a state case. It's going to be dropped, too. Because they're going to get in there. Okay. Watch. I'm telling you.
You think they're going to drop it, Jerome, or you think they're going to wait until after he's out of office?
No, I think they're going to force him to pardon himself. Because I don't think New York State can stop their case.
That's a state case.
So you can't pardon yourself from state cases either, right?
Right.
And so we're talking state court here. I don't have any confidence in Georgia pressing anything because –
mm-hmm.
Even if he's convicted, he would not have to serve any time. If he was convicted, they would literally give him like 2 days of house arrest. Like they would symbolically give him something, but it won't be anything that's going to take him off the board. Do you know what I mean? And so New York State is just, you know, they're going to still hit his finances. They're going to be like, you can't, you know, do any business in New York State. But
who cares?
Who was that went to jail? Michael Cohen. He should have been going to jail prior to him. So I don't know how you do that part because that's federal prosecution. And people don't think we kind of understand how conservative the FBI is. They're just nothing but Republicans. And so if they were pushing back on him the first time, imagine what they're going to do now. They're going to run around here like slave patrols. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to have problems with them. You're going to have problems with the Border Patrol. Right? You're going to have problems with all of these other agencies that were conservative in nature. So policing is going to change in this country. Now, what I don't think is going to happen, I don't think the judiciary is going to just bend over. I don't think that's going to happen. Because the judiciary, I think that they're going to look more liberal than they have been, because the way judges operate is that they like to prove their independence. So just like when Roberts voted to keep the Affordable Care Act, I think he felt the pressure of just overruling something because he didn't want the court to look racist as it is.
Okay.
So some of those Republicans are going to start getting a little bit more. They're going to say, hey, I agree with you, but we can't do this. Right? It's just like messing with Social Security. You can't mess with Social Security. Social Security is a separate law, and it sits outside of the pool of money that goes into the general fund. Right? So you can't just move Social Security out because the law was created because Social Security is Social Security insurance, and it sits separate. So what George W. Bush did when they had war is he secured it, like he borrowed $2 trillion or $2 trillion against the Social Security Insurance Fund. But to dissolve that thing, you literally need a law, not just a law, like you just can't really pass one. You have to dissolve the law that already governs it. And I think that as the lawsuits come, that'll just take years. It's like taking Trump to court. All of the Democrats have to do is just keep suing him, and they'll just keep delaying it and delaying it and delaying it and delaying it, and he's not going to be able to really touch Social Security. But the rural people who supported him, that's the money that they're living off of. So if it's going to come to a decision in about a year and a half that we're going to get banged in Congress, and you're not going to want those rural people being like, wait a minute, they're touching my Social Security? So Trump said, oh, no, we're not touching Social Security, even though Congress wants to touch Social Security. That's been a long-time plan of theirs. Mm-hmm. That goes against their own interests. If nothing else, they don't go against their own interests like that. Not politicians. Now, everybody else may.
Okay. So let me ask you guys this. If you had to name one person, why do you think we're at this point? If there's one person you can blame for the election of Donald Trump, one person, who would it be, Mr. Elias?
The election of Donald Trump?
Yep.
I would say the Tea Party. That's not a person, but the Tea Party.
No, I'm not talking about that. No, give me a person. Give me a person. I know what you mean. I'm looking for something here. Give me a person. Give me one person that if you had to blame for this man returning to the White House in January of 2025, give me that one person.
I'd say Bitch McConnell.
Interesting.
I'd say Bitch McConnell. He had a chance to impeach him, and he didn't impeach him.
But did his one vote, Jay?
He wielded the Senate. Hell, had he came in and said, this is bullshit, let's get him out of here. This dude tried to kill us, we ain't putting up with this shit no more, get him out. What would have happened? I blame Mitch McConnell.
Okay, that's fair. What about you, Jerome?
I don't know. I'm hypothetically challenged. I don't know how to do a hypothetical this way. Because I don't know if there's one person. Go ahead.
Oh, I have one. Merrick Garland.
That was my initial thought.
That's where I thought you were going to go.
That was my initial thought. Because it wouldn't have been a politician. It was the people who should have prosecuted him 2 years ago and didn't do it. And they said something like, well, we just want the nation to heal and not feel like we're going after him because he was a sitting president. I can blame Obama for that. Do you know what I mean?
That's interesting.
Well,
yeah, Mr. Elias, hold your thoughts. I definitely want to hear this.
No, I'm just saying, though. So he appointed Merrick Garland, who's conservative as a Democrat. And then in light of that, Biden picks him as attorney general. They should have picked somebody who was more balanced.
Huh.
But out of the pool of people who are sitting in the Justice Department, they're all Republicans. They've had that on lock for eons. They should have put somebody in there who was a prosecutor. And being that they're going to put Matt Gaetz there, I can tell you this, Democrats and black people generally always want to play by rules. And the people who are oppressing everybody on this planet don't have no rules. You can't play a game when only one side is abiding by rules. So Obama wanted to appease them and said, hey, let's put Garland in there because he's not too liberal. He's more conservative, so he can get the Republicans to vote for him. And what did they do?
So we need to give
that up. So I agree with Elias. I agree with you that it was Merrick Garland. I would go with him.
I agree with you. Okay, that's a good point. All right. Okay, so Mr. Elias, you were about to read something about the news. I have two more questions for you guys.
Go ahead.
You were saying something about the news. You said they're saying something on the news.
I don't remember, Jay. I don't remember.
That's okay. All right. So let me ask you guys this. The influence of President Obama, where do you think it is now? Do you think he still has clout, or is it a situation where his influence is starting to fade a little bit. I'll start with you, Jerome.
Yeah, I think he pulled a Bill Cosby on that last with that little pound cake speech, and I don't think he has credibility amongst amongst black folks like he did before. Now, he is a great – he's special when it comes to this, where it comes to his influence and his speaking, and he's, you know, just very charismatic. But he don't have any political pull. He's, you know, again, this not going to be like we can rally around him. So, no, I think that his political influence, but as a diplomat, as a statesman, like a worldwide symbol, you know, he is going to be, his picture is going to be on the wall of people in their house, you know, like he.
Oh, yeah, like Dr. King, yeah, on the fans and all that.
JFK.
Yeah.
Yep. Because, you know, like I said, he symbolically, he's great. A great, like, image, but we can't – leadership, you know, you can't live by an image. You need somebody to be that person, but he's not a leader like that. Do you know what I mean? So he's not going to rally anybody up to do anything. So the next person, Gavin Newsom, the next person who runs for president because I heard you, yes, because I said that before. I thought they would pull a coup – at the Democratic convention to get Gavin Newsom run, because if they would have done that, they would have won, right?
Yeah.
But anyway.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I thought him or Josh Shapiro, that they would have, Okay, what about you, Ms. Elias? Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, Jerome. I don't know if you were done.
No, I was just saying. So Obama, I don't think he's going to have a big influence. He can come out and introduce people, you know, but I don't think he's a caricature at this point.
Oh, wow, ouch. What about you, Ms. Elias? What do you think?
Oh, I agree with Jerome, man. I don't think he has. I don't think he's wielding the same power that he used to. You know what I'm saying? You know, and like I gotta agree that he even though it needed to be said, you know, with today's society and Gen Zs and all these other people, they're real soft, man. They can't accept the truth now. So you got to hand them with kid gloves, and I know that. From dealing with my nieces and nephews, man, they are really, they're soft. And if you talk to them in a certain way, they just withdraw, man. So, you can't be upfront and honest with them and tell them the truth, because if you do, they just like they withdraw. They're like, oh, why is he talking to me that way? And I'm thinking to myself, because you need it. You need to be talked to in this manner. Hell, that's why.
A friend of mine said that same thing, Elias. He was talking to his son about something, and the kid said, "I feel like you're bullying me." And I was like, wait, what? He was like, "I feel like you're bullying me." And there's something called trauma dumping that is in these kids' words. And that's when you are telling somebody something that happened that's trauma-related, but they are ingesting it. So they're like, I feel like you're trauma dumping if I tell you something bad. Like, so what do you want? You don't want to, right? We are like, and they're like, you're trauma dumping because you're so upset. I want to just go and get some cereal or something, right? I didn't know those words. I learned that early. I was like, wait, what? So, we have a bunch of soft, you know, folks out here that they're about to learn, though. So here's where our pendulum swing goes. They're going to have to rely on those people, their elders, a little bit on this one, because they're going to just be spinning in circles, talking about they feel like they've been bullied and they don't like the way people are talking to them. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to tell a real quick story. I was in Vegas at a bar once with one of my partners. We were sitting there drinking, and the young girl, I was ordering a drink, and she said, how do you want it? I said, she said, you want it neat? I said, no, I don't want it neat. And then she says, well, then how do you want it? So, baby girl, if it's not neat, you usually put ice in there, you know. I'm thinking, you ran a bartender, you should know that. You know, she wouldn't serve me because she said I was bullying her.
Oh, wow.
Right. She didn't think about her tip. She just thought that she didn't like the way you
were. I felt like I was being bullied, sir. I was like, well, you know what? I apologize to you, baby girl, but okay, I get it now. Well, she didn't serve me.
Right.
Anymore. And my partner made jokes. He's like, hey, keep in mind, he was the one bullying you, not me.
Wow, that's crazy. All right, so let me ask this question. So what about Michelle Obama? You think her power has diminished as well?
Yep.
To be honest, yeah.
Are you asking me or go ahead?
No, I mean, I made it quick. Okay. Let me ask this question. Do you think?
No, I was telling Les to go ahead. I didn't say yes, but go ahead.
Okay.
Les.
Yeah, I think her power. I do honestly, you know, because her speech in Saginaw, Michigan, man, resonated me, and it should have resonated with everybody, with daughters, nieces, and mothers and grandmothers. That speech should have resonated by saying that this law is going to affect your the women folk in your family, and it did,
okay.
And it did.
Okay, what about you, Jerome?
I don't think that she lost any power, because the voting had nothing to do with policy. It had nothing to do with how they ran a race. It had nothing to do with her popularity amongst Democrats. It had nothing to do with that.
Okay.
I think that it had more to do with the voting against something. So when they talk about those rural areas, they went against whoever the popular kids are. You know, there's a thing where people don't like the cool kids, but they want to be around them. So they're going to pendulum swing back to Michelle Obama, because they're going to want somebody to make them feel good about the decision that they made that was so bad, because it's about to get dark. And so when it gets dark, you want somebody to uplift you, and you're going to go to somebody like Michelle or somebody like, you know, the former president to give you a speech. They'd be like, it's going to be, you know, when they go low, we go high. You're going to want a pep talk. And I, again, tell all black folks, don't bail them out from their emotions. Just let it happen.
All right, so here's my next question. Do you think, you know, once again, revisionist history here, do you think Michelle Obama would have beat Trump, Mr. Elias?
Yes, I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say that, because
I don't know.
I don't. To be honest, I don't know, because the bottom line is, man, come on. I mean, this dude is telling you he's I'm making this prediction. Everybody thinks it's crazy. He's never going to leave office. He is never going to leave office. He'll die in office.
You agree with that, Jerome? He's never going to leave office.
Oh, no, I don't believe that. He's going to leave office one way or another. But to your question about Michelle running, do I think it would have done better? No, because what happened to Biden still happened to Biden. I am telling you this, just fundamentally, so that we can all relate to this differently. If you did something to somebody close to me, I am not going to be your friend. I'm not even playing, right? You do something that as a supporter of somebody and you wrong them, I am not going to help you. And I think that people are discounting the fact that railroading of Biden hurt them across the board.
Okay.
It is how they got in office. And when I said before that she wouldn't have won a race in a natural election, she dropped out before they even started voting when she ran for president. She just wasn't a good candidate. And I think that it hurts people's feelings to say that or to hear it. Because remember, I got the Kevin Samuels whatever stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all were laughing at.
You got it.
Because they can't hear it. That's why. But now that you just saw it, it's going to hurt your feelings. And now they want to blame everything else. If she was in long enough, it had to do with the fact that you railroaded somebody who the majority of people voted for last time, and they voted against it. No matter who you would have put up there, I think they would have lost.
Huh, that's interesting. Okay. All right. So here's my next question. Because what role, Mr. Elias, you think the Gaza thing played in it? Because they interviewed some young folks, and they were trying to send a message. that, hey, you know what, you can't take our vote for granted, and that, you know, guards is a real thing. You should pay attention to it.
And Michigan, I think it played a large role. Michigan. Definitely in Michigan. So, yeah, I think that one is what really hurt her in Michigan, definitely.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
A lot of young people, they voted, they talked to after the fact, saying they were sending a message.
Yeah, that plays a difference in, because, again, she wanted to play the fence because natural, in a natural election cycle, that she tried to pacify Jewish folks, right? Instead of saying, hey, here's right or wrong, she tried to go to, you know, play politics and constituent services area, and the whole Gaza thing, if that would have been a factor in the race, probably hurt her a little bit more. But again, that's not why she lost. It had nothing to do with any policy or anything she put up there. It might have contributed to the margin, like the, how bad she lost, but I think I don't think that was a big thing.
Yeah, see, that's where I was going, because the young people were like, yeah, we wanted to send a message. We don't like how this administration has been dealing with Gaza. Which, you know, that's my point. That's my point. That's my point. Really? Do you think this guy give two, you know, what? Come on, man.
Yeah, he moved the U.S. Embassy and then said, and they just voted in Israel that they won't move it back to Palestine side, right? You'd think that that was a factor in their voting. Well, that one individual could say that. Young people have various reasons for wanting to vote and not voting, but that had nothing to do with the margin of loss, right? So we can all have – somebody can say, I don't like the way she did her hair. You can have all kinds of reasons for not – for your individual thing, but holistically across the board, you can't change the platform. You can't change the context of her overall campaign and blame that. Because you weren't running against anybody, right? Trump didn't make a stand on it one way or another. But we know what he's going to do. We can end the war. He's friends with Putin. He met with Putin. He hung out with Elon Musk, who met with Putin. Like, there is no way that you don't see him as a little dictator. And so he is going to cause as much pain as they can. The chaos presidency is about to begin. Right? And chaos happened with Reagan, again, when he came in there, got rid of, you know, all of these programs and all this other stuff, and then when unemployment went to 10, he lost the Congress, but he actually spent the most money creating the Veterans Administration because he tried to look like he was helping vets. So he expanded that department like crazy, and he had to raise taxes. Almost $1 trillion in taxes in 2 years because he cut taxes so much that people were starting to get hurt. And I think in the same vein, Trump messing around and having all these people in the rural and suburban areas, you know, like the farm subsidies is in the welfare stuff. If he start cutting farm subsidies and hurting farmers, he's going to have the same problem.
So here's my next question. So a lot of historians say that, you know, Biden is going to probably go down as one of the most influential presidents in our nation's history, one of the most successful presidencies. So why do you think his numbers were in the tank? Why do you think his popularity numbers, Mr. Elias, never really amounted to anything? They said he was, he was taking in water. The polls are saying he, even, you know, now, he's like at 39%. I mean, why do you think his numbers, if everything is going so well, why do you think his numbers were so low?
Because it's a facade, or as the Italians call it, a fugazi. And what I mean by that is a fugazi. A fugazi is a facade. Fugazi is like if you got a diamond and it looks like a diamond, it ain't a diamond. It's one of those crystals. But the bottom line is this, man. Trump put out there
that, you know, gas was way, way better when I was in office. You know why it was better when you were in office? Because, asshole, we were going through a pandemic. And, you know, I can tell you for one fact that I was driving to work where it would usually take me 20 to 30 minutes. I was getting there in 10, 15 because there were no cars on the road. So we went through a pandemic, a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic, whereas that day when President Obama said it, we were talking about the fact that we lost over a million people, and Canada didn't. Look, man, let's talk about his policies, your health care policy. When he said, what are you going to do about health care? So I got some in place. I don't know what it's going to be. Yeah. You know, I got some in place, but I don't know what it is. And then this man pretended to give fellatio to a microphone. This is the person that you guys put in charge. This is the guy that he pretended to give fellatio to a microphone. This is a real presidential candidate that you guys said he's real presidential. He's my president. God bless you. Why Biden's not doing well? Because of messaging. His message, that message that I've been saying this for the longest. You watch news sources, and the news sources tell you how great that Biden is doing. You're not watching the other news sources because they will tell you that Biden is not doing a great job. And people are, the majority of people listening to that in this country listen to that. It's the messaging. Hell, you know, what do these Republicans do when they get back to their districts? Oh, I got this done for you. We got this done. Look at how great we're doing. Look at the greatest job we're doing in the world. And half these clowns ain't even voted for these bills. But they'll get out and tout that they are. It's the messaging. Hell, if I was Biden, I'd have been every time he said somebody had somebody, a reporter, somebody in the audience said, hey, didn't you, because they did this in Florida to a woman, and the guy didn't let up on it, say, you voted against that bill. Why are you claiming that you did this? And let's say, I don't know what I voted for. Then why are you claiming the credit for it? Because you voted against that bill. It's the messaging, man. And you got people. Well, and when I looked at that town hall that Chris, Alex Wagner put on, and you had guys in there from the union saying the reason you're working right now is because of Biden's policy. And they think they gave a damn? Nope, they didn't. Mm-mm. The message.
So is it messaging, or is it just the fact that we just have ignorant people out there that's not paying attention to what's going on? Or is it a situation where you have people who are really and truly hurting, and, you know, and that's playing a role as well? No?
They had a Trump's messages get out there and say, when I was in office, I did this, and it was a lie. Yes, before the pandemic, Trump and California was brought out. The other day when I was listening to a radio show, that gas prices were damn near $10 a gallon. So how is his, because it's the messaging, because they hammer that crap home. They keep hammering this, we did this, we did this, we did this, we did this. What did the Democrats do? Yeah, we did this, but okay, let's move on to the next subject. You got to admit, when the Republican Party comes out and says something, they all say it together. They do. They stick together.
Let me ask you this, Drew. Okay. You say messaging, but can we all agree that the Republicans have more resources or more outlets that's pushing their agenda than the Democrats? We talked about how the St. Clair messaging is. I mean, come on.
Yep. So that was my answer to the question, right? The reason that people don't know is because when things are owned by rich people, they put out a narrative based upon how they are feeling. So Sinclair and Fox, this, you know, for years, Fox News is not news. It's propaganda. And so when I hear people say stuff like, oh, the economy's bad, and this, and I'm like, what measure do you use for the economy? Fundamentally, if unemployment is low, the reason that the consumer prices are high is because they assume that everybody has money. But when unemployment is high, they drop consumer prices because people don't have money. It's a capitalist issue, right? So you can't say because my groceries are high, that's why I don't like Biden. or, oh, because my gas died, that's why I don't like Biden. Like, you can use any metrics, any one of those things, and blame it on Biden, because one of those things are always going to be bad. That's why they raise interest rates or lower interest rates. That's why you're always tweaking some part of economics to try to ease people's pain. But we've been rolling in a really, really good economy if you look at any of those metrics. But, again, nobody's going to sit there and study this stuff, or even – most people don't – I like that commercial when the insurance commercial where the little kid says, what's the economy? And all of them sitting around, it's a lot of things. No, they don't even know what the economy is. So when you take Fox News, all of these other guys saying the same propaganda over and over, people believe that. And Democrats are horrible. Obama was horrible at this, whereas people are like, oh, the world is going to hell on because of Obama. And it's like, what are you measuring that against? Something's going on in the Middle East. Like whatever it is, they're going to blame it on Democrats. But as horrible as a president that Reagan was, it was Obama talking about how good of a president he is because the marketing was good on him. The marketing's good on Reagan. Reagan was a horrible president.
That he was.
But isn't that smart? But isn't that smart to do when you're dealing with a bunch of ignorant people where they're not, you know, they don't have any in-depth knowledge or anything? It's just like whatever the flavor of the day is they're going to follow. Wouldn't that be a decent move?
Yeah, it's because rich people has control of media. It ain't liberal people in control of media. It's rich people.
Right.
So they know to keep ratings up, you deliver bad news for ratings. But when somebody crazy like Trump is there, dotard is there, then they don't have to create the negative because everybody can see negative in front of them. As much scandal as they saw, as much as that grabbing women by the crotch stuff happened, it did not stick because the people who were yelling it, they just flipped the tables on the media-wise and go, oh, everybody does it. I can't believe you're singling him out. And, right?
Well,
and so you just so you create a false equivalency, right, because you own the media. Again, we talked about this. Keith Olbermann was kicked off the air when Comcast bought NBC. That was a part of their conditions. So that's why I don't really watch them. You look at what Rachel and those guys, even though they are doing good with information, as soon as, who was it, Melissa Harris-Perry or it was somebody said something. Oh, I'm sorry. What is it? Tiffany Harris, who was only there
Tiffany
part-time.
Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross. Thank you. She said something. She was only there part-time. They fired her for saying something about somebody on Fox. That's ridiculous. So technically, the propaganda machine goes by wealth because they have a certain – that's a class thing that they want everybody to adhere to. And Democrats are never really good for the wealthy class because they believe in equal taxation across the board, shared resources, right? If we have to pay taxes to pay for the roads that you're driving your Rolls Royce on opposed to your Hyundai or whatever car you're driving, everybody should share the cost of that. But rich people don't believe that, right? They're like, I need to keep more of my money. So the wealthy class actually dictates what happens in this country.
Yeah,
I was watching TMZ the other day, and I'm half asleep in the afternoons anyway. But you know, I watched that, and I'm watching this guy Harvey Levin saying, "Oh, the country needs to heal. Oh, we need to stop talking trash about Donald Trump." I'm thinking to myself, well, okay, this is the dude that talk all the trash in the world about everybody else. Now you're talking about the country needs to heal? Hell, why don't you start with him first?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought
that up. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because when races take control, it's always like we need to heal. We need to come together as Americans because it benefits them and their power structure if you don't fight back against them. So but again, they're about to fight. So you're about to see protests on the street, but you're going to see white women and stuff, you know, women's rights. They're going to ramp this up. And like that's why I said black people stay about this. Because the people who caused the problem are the people who are going to be complaining the most.
All right. One last question for my brothers. So what's next for Kamala Harris, Jerome?
You should go home and make a sandwich. That's what I'm going to say about that.
I'm glad I'm not pulling comments today. All right, Mr. Elias, man. Give me what's next for Kamala. Kamala, got me.
Get some go home and get some sleep, man, because I know she's got to be tired, you know, because she ran out of the race. But go home and get some sleep. Bottom line, what's next for her? She's done politically. Let's call it what it is. She's done politically because had she, you know, stuck and said, Joe Biden, I'm sticking with Joe, let somebody else run. Yeah, it'd have made her look more heroic than that. But yeah, they're going to crucify this black woman just because she's a black woman. No other reason than that.
Yeah. And who knows? Maybe if she'd have picked Josh Shapiro, maybe the results would have been different. I don't know. Anyway. All right, folks. It's hear the music. So if you're a longtime listener, you know, it's time for our final thoughts. And so my brothers, they have a minute and a half each. Jerome, man, it's on you, man. Final thoughts. How do you sum all this up?
Well, I'm going to say, since the show today dealt directly with the impact, I would say tune in next week, and we will have a different lane to swim in. So I'm not hopeful about anything that has to do with federal government, but I know that we are all going to be all right. If I can quote Kendrick Lamar, we're going to be all right.
There you go, my man. All right, Mr. Elias, man, final thoughts.
I know my brothers think I'm crazy when I say Trump is never going to leave his office unless he dies. Dude, this dude is going to be, I'm telling you, watch and see if they don't change the Constitution to where they get rid of that rule. They voted the Constitution in, I think it was Roosevelt, that voted term elections where you can only stay in two terms. See if they don't get rid of it. Watch and see if they don't get rid of it.
Wow, that's a hell of a final thought. I don't even know how to follow that up. I was going to say I apologize for my antics earlier in the show, but I don't. I was going to say I apologize for us using foul language, but I don't. I was going to say that maybe I'll be in a better mind space, better place mentally next week, because I won't. All I can tell you is that I know for sure is that in February of 2025, we will be on a different platform. That's all I can tell you. That I know, that's fact. Outside of that, the views and opinions of Jay are his and his only, and they do not reflect the views and opinions of the TJRS Radio Network. You thought I went off early today. You're going to get 4 years of nonsense from me. If it's God's will, because I'm going to tell you right now, I am mad. I am pissed. I am hot. And it ain't going away no time soon. I thought that maybe after a week or so I'd calm down. No. Turn up. It's on and popping. And on that note, Mr. Elias, if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, what time is it, my friend?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Rao Show.
Folks, I am shocked we made it 2 hours, but my brothers always find a way to make a way. So for Mr. Elias, for my boy Jerome, I'm J. Rao saying have a decent week. Try to find a way to smile. Like Jerome said, tomorrow the sun's going to come up. But if we're talking serious stuff, it is the serious side of the J. Rao Show. We'll see you next week. Regular format returns to you.